We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
He laid their life down for us to have the freedoms that we have. Isn't that right? And there are people trying everything they can to be able to come and enjoy the things that we have here. How many know that when people want to leave everything for America, something great is happening here? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's an amazing blessing to live in this country. Even more a blessing to be able to call yourself an American. And many in this country are working towards citizenships because of what America has to offer. But you know what? In fact, too many born Americans take for granted all that our forefathers have done for us. You know, I was over someone's house recently, hanging out with them, and they're working towards their citizenship, and they have all these flashcards, and they have to be able to memorize all this stuff about America. And guess what? Most Americans don't even think twice about it. They have no clue about it. I want to tell you, I got 50 out of 60 answers right. Yeah, we're talking Congress questions. We're talking all sorts of Bill of Rights questions. I felt pretty good about myself. I stood up and I gave the salute and I walked out. No, but I'll tell you, there's so many Americans that take for granted what they have. And so many people trying to be able to have their citizenship here. Why? Because God has blessed America. America is a blessed country. And you know, we celebrate our 4th of July weekend a little early because we know a lot of people travel on the 4th of July week. Isn't that right? Right? So we come together the week before and we just kind of celebrate a little bit extra together so we can do it together. But I oftentimes encourage many Americans to travel abroad just to have a better perspective of how much better we truly have it. Because if we truly understood what we had, we'd appreciate it more. And maybe we'd even be more, better Americans for it. You see what I'm saying? I was flipping through. I don't know if you noticed, but now all of a sudden all the memes are starting to roll out a little early for 4th of July on social media, talking about all of the, you know, the patriotic things. And I scrolled past one the other day that says, it said the most dangerous weapon in America is a patriotic person. And I just thought, like, man, when you love, you know, for love of that whole concept of king and country, but not king. You know what I mean? Like, for God and for our country. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's something amazing about that. But I get goosebumps when I think about it. When the Star Spangled Banner, when we hear all the amazing American things, I just go, man, it's good to be in America. So, you know, when I think about this, why do we have it so good? Yes, we know it's because so many have been willing to stand and fight for their freedom, which is our freedom, right? But could it also be that our forefathers had the wisdom to position themselves and this young nation into the proper position so that God would indeed bless it? It's more than just people that were willing to fight. How many know that was incredibly important? There would be nothing without them. But how could such a nation prosper as long as we've prospered? With the kind of government that we have, with the structure and the setup, I want to tell you, I believe it's because they had godly wisdom to position this young nation, these young colonies, in a place where God could bless this country. And how many think he has? Some dispute whether this nation was founded on Christianity, but that those that know history do not dispute the Christian values and ideology that the writers of the Declaration of Independence used to help pen this powerful piece. That's true, and that's self-evident. That's evident when you look at it. And it's amazing. I've tried to hunt down, you know, a replica of the Declaration of Independence, and I called my brother, who's one of the most patriotic people I know. I don't know if you noticed, he had his little American flags belt on as he did tithe and offering. Subtle, but it's there, okay? But, you know, I asked him, I'm like, hey, do you have a copy of that? You know, something big that we could put up? And he was like, no, but we could go National Treasure and just go get it. And I was like, hey. So we didn't. That's why we're both still here today. Some things are better for the movies. But listen, if I had this big Declaration of Independence, I would point out one specific line that we're so familiar with, and it is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? It's a well-known phrase in the United States Declaration of Independence. The phrase gives three examples of the unalienable rights which the Declaration says have been given to all human beings by their Creator, and which governments are created to protect. So what was the purpose of the government? To protect our unalienable rights. Understand? Okay, I'm not going to be going too far left or right on this. I'm just trying to help you understand what the government's for. Moving on. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Today I want to talk to you about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know what? Those that founded this country believed that the land they dreamed of was actually an idea that was God-inspired. That which they were risking everything for was something they believed were rights given to us from God himself. Are you following me? And it is because of such conviction they were willing to put everything on the line, all they had in pledge to this country. I'm going to read another excerpt from the Declaration of Independence. It says this: "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions." If you just stop right there, that line sounds a lot like Judges 11. Go read Judges 11, where basically the Israelites are basically saying, "Hey, God, you be the judge of what we're trying to do this day." Go there. "And appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown." Cheers. "And that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." You say, "Chad, I didn't come for a history lesson." Well, there are too many Americans that don't know this stuff. You need a little bit of both, because when I look at what our forefathers did to start this, man, did they rely heavily on God? Did they rely heavily on, you know, being wise to position this nation for success? But you know what's interesting is they were willing to risk everything together for the cause. Is the church willing to risk everything together for the cause? You know, there's something so amazing about America, and that's the fact that we do have rights that others don't have in the world. But what should that do? It should propel the American church forward to be the church that other countries can't be in public. We should be able to stand up and use the freedom to move the church forward in ways that other churches cannot do because they don't have the freedom to do it. Okay. We're all on there. So our forefathers were dedicated even to death to promote and protect what they believed to be their God-given rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's talk about these three God-given rights, shall we? We shall, because I have the microphone and that's what my notes say. So what makes them unalienable? What does the Bible say about these God-given rights? Number one, we're talking about life. Life. What is it about life? What does God's word tell me about life? It tells me I can live because 1A, see, we're in school here. We're talking about history, and I'm going to be going 1As and 2As and 3As. I don't think you were ready for that. I wasn't when I started writing it. I just got all sorts of excited. See, I can live because, A, I have been created. It's important. When you think about life, it's important to know it was created. Why is that important? Look what it says in Genesis 2:7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." So formed, life was breathed. This was a creation. God created us to have life. Why is that so important? Why is it so important to believe creation? Because a creator never creates anything without a purpose. If we just happen to be here, then life doesn't really matter whether we're here, whether we're not. No, but a creator creates something with purpose. So the reason I know that I can live is because I was created. I can live because God gave us life. I can live confidently because I was created. God created us and breathed life into the creation. Life is a gift. It is sacred. No one should be able to infringe on our God-given rights. Amen? What else? 1B. I can live because I have been purposed. Remember? Nothing is created unless there's purpose. Apparently those fidget spinners have purpose. All those with kids. You know what I'm saying. I've been purposed. Psalms 139:13 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." How many think that that takes some care? God does things with purpose. And we can live a confident life if we understand that we were created and that we were purposed for what God intended for us. See, these are the things I believe our forefathers understood when they were penning the Declaration. They're saying, no, there's something important about our life and the way we live our life and how we have the freedom to do the things God's called us to do are important. And so I'm just giving us some time on this. So I can live because, see, I have been promised a future. I've been created, I've been purposed, and I now have promised a future. It says in John 10:10, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Rich and satisfying life. How many know God wants you to have a satisfying life? How many know that doesn't mean the world's not going to attack you? It means as far as what God is going to do to you, it's going to be for good. How many understand that Joseph went through a lot of struggle? Joseph was abandoned by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He ended up having God's favor everywhere he went. Even if it was in the prison, God showed him favor. And the fact of the matter was, he was still being set to have a rich and satisfying life. But it was all based on his attitude towards saying, okay, well, based on where I am now, the wisdom I have now is to position myself here now. And I believe that God is going to still do what he said he will do. See, it's not about what others will do. You may be sitting in this place and you may be like, well, it doesn't seem like it's going as well for me as it goes for others. Can I tell you, the world is going to come after you. And the fact is, if we position ourselves through godly wisdom, God will do his part. But you better expect the world is coming after you and that the devil hates you and that he's going to do everything he can to stop you. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be smooth sailing, but don't jump ship before your miracle, yeah? So I've been promised a future. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, Jesus said. So how many understand Jesus didn't fail what he came to do? That means he achieved what he was doing. And so that means his achieved purpose becomes our promise if we follow him. Did you get that? His achieved purpose becomes our promise if we follow him. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us this: "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." When it comes to your life, God has a plan for it. God, you may say, man, my family had no clue what was happening. I was the surprise child. My life hasn't been easy. Well, can I tell you, God loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And the fact that you're still breathing proves that you're not done yet. It's important. I know you say, Chad, you say that a lot. Well, somebody needs to keep hearing that. Maybe you're at home right now. You need to keep hearing that. God has a purpose for you. So number one, that's why we know that, it's a God-given right to have life and nothing should be infringed upon it. Number two, liberty. How many think that God, he created us to live in freedom? He did. God created us free from the beginning of time. God chose to give us free will. And even when we messed it up and sin entered the world, he again created a way to give us freedom beyond our sin through Jesus Christ. He has always intended us to be able to live in freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. How many know when we accept Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is now indwelling? So it means that the peace that surpasses understanding, it means the liberty that we should be able to walk in. It means that freedom now lives in us. And wherever his Spirit is, there's freedom. We were created to live in liberty. We were created to be in the presence of the Lord at all times. Liberty was God's plan and idea. God's word tells us how we were created to live in liberty by what should not have control over us as well. So how else do we know that we're called to live in liberty? 2A, because I am free to be free. The scripture tells me in John 8, starting in 31, it says this, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you jump down to verse 36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. You are free indeed. Liberty was God's idea. He wants you free. You know, there's a great hymn writer by the name of Charles Wesley. He wrote this stanza in 1738 after being moved by the freedom he found in Christ. It said this, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin in nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with lights. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. There's this moment where you feel liberated. When we encounter Jesus, the chains fall off. And when the chains fall off and we realize our freedom came from him, we can't help but get up and start following him. The freedom, the liberty that we have, the thing that God intended for us, it's in the name of Jesus. It's following Jesus, because wherever his Spirit is, there's freedom, there's liberty. So I can live in liberty because, B, I am free from worry. Man, I'm free from worry. Look what it says in 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. So how do I know that I'm supposed to be able to live in liberty? Because we're even allowed to cast our cares on him so that we don't even have to be held down by worry. See, I believe that there's people living a lack. They're living in lack when it comes to the Christian life because they're not actually being able to apply the scripture in their life. They're not doing things like this. They're not casting their cares. They're not spending time talking to God about what's bothering them, about what's holding them back. They're not asking for his intervention. They're just sitting there assuming he's going to show up. But everything God does is through relationship. Ask, seek, knock. People say, I believe in Jesus, I just don't see him moving. Well, are we acting on his word? Are we doing it through relationship, or are we just assuming he's going to turn up because we happen to know his name? We just never use it, unless we use it in the wrong way. I can live in liberty because, see, I am free from bondage. Look what the scripture tells me in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You said, Chad, you doubled that because you need that twice. You don't have to live enslaved to things. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live captive, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom there. I just want to talk right now to somebody. There's people in this room. There's people watching this right now. You feel like you've been held back. You feel like you're running in circles. You feel like there are things that are holding you back. And the fact is, you've been a Christian for years. You need to bring that to the altar. You need to give that to God. You've got to cast that on him. You've got to walk out the things he's called us to do. That's not supposed to have power over you. You're supposed to have liberty. You're not supposed to be in bondage. Give it to God. Find accountability in a friend. Find someone to pray with you. D, I am free from condemnation. That's how I can live in liberty, because the scripture says I'm also free from condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So I don't even have to live with condemnation. I don't have to feel shame. I don't have to feel condemned. I can have liberty and freedom because of who Jesus is in my world. Are you still with me? E. The letter of the day is E. I am free from the power of Satan. Look what 1 John tells me. For the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. You're like, I don't like the word Satan. Is it Satan? The devil? Your adversary doesn't have to control you. He doesn't have power over you, because the one that lives in you is greater than he that lives in the world. That's what the Bible tells us. So when I'm talking about liberty, that was like half mustard, half clap. Do we clap? Don't we clap? The fact is, you don't have to live in that. The more I know about the scripture, the more I apply it to my life, the more I can live in that freedom. The more I know about the scripture, the more I apply it to my life, the more I can live in that freedom. What am I saying? The more wisdom I have, the more I position myself, the more I can live in that with that freedom. Okay. F for freedom. I can live in liberty because I am free from sin. F, I am free from sin. Look what it says in 1 John 1:7. It says this, the blood of Jesus, his son, God's son, purifies us from all sin. Purifies us from all sin. So now, even the thing that I did, knowingly or unknowingly, the thing that I have committed, that debt that I should owe, is not held against me. So I have liberty to walk in a freedom that I don't deserve. Liberty is God-given. It's a God-given right if we can live within Jesus Christ. Are you still with me? Okay. Number three, I'm going to get it done really early today, and you're all going to be really impressed. People that are streaming are going to know what to do with themselves. So, like, I guess I have to get dressed now. Number three, we're talking pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. What does that mean? Have you ever thought of that? What does that mean, the pursuit of happiness? We think we know what it means. And there's a debate about what the word happiness may have meant in 1776. I've looked this up. There's really a debate, believe it or not. But we can talk about what the current usage of this word is. The focus is on pleasant, positive emotions or vibes. Good vibes only. What does that mean? I'm just playing. All right. Pleasant, positive emotions and having needs satisfied, right? But in 1776, the common meaning may have been prosperity, thriving, and well-being. Prosperity, thriving, and well-being. So when our forefathers said the pursuit of happiness, they were saying prosperity. They wanted to thrive, not just survive. They wanted to have well-being. They wanted to feel like, you know what? I'm content. How many know it's a powerful place to live in being content? The Apostle Paul said, I'm content in all things. I know what it is to have lack. I know what it is to have abundance. But being able to be content in all things in every season. Pursuit of happiness. When I think about it, God's word tells us, whether we're talking about the first definition or thought of happiness or what it was back in 1776, what we know is that God's word promotes happiness in both instances. Look what God's word says in Ecclesiastes 3:13. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. Enjoy. We should be able to enjoy this life. We should be able to enjoy our time with family and our time with friends. Responsible, yes, but enjoyed, yes. We should be able to be in a place where, man, the labor of our hands, the hard work, the things that we've done, God says, hey, you know what? I'm the reason you've produced. I've blessed the work of your hands, and you should be able to enjoy it. It's summertime. If you have the ability, go on vacation. You deserve it. If you don't have the ability, work hard. I'm just saying, if you have the ability to go get away, go get away. But if you're in town, you're in church. That's right. I found a way to put that in there, didn't I? James 1:17 tells us this. Look what it says here. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Listen, everything good that we have, every good gift comes from God. He cares about your happiness. People say, well, serving God isn't about happiness. It isn't? I don't think they know the God that I know. Because the God that I know wants me to be happy. His word tells me how I can be happy. And his word tells me that I can be happy regardless of my circumstance or my situation or my surroundings or the atmosphere. The peace that surpasses understanding is indwelling, because that's where the Spirit of the Lord is. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Tap shoes. Come on. It is about happiness. God didn't create you to be miserable. Stop being miserable. You're looking at your neighbor like, he's talking to you. God's word tells us in many other ways how we should be able to live a happy life by what we should not have to live with. Are you ready for these again? I am free to be happy because A, I am free from failure. Woo! How many people lose sleep over failing? How many people lose sleep over fearing failure? Fearing that. Look what it says. There's a scripture here. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What does that mean? I don't have to fear failure. I can just keep going after it. And if I don't get it the first time, maybe I didn't see the angle God was trying, and so I'm going to try again. God, help me see what you're trying to do. Help me see what I'm supposed to do here. God, help me, because I don't have to fear failure because you are in me. Yes? So because I don't have to fear failure, I should be able to live happy. Sing along with you. No. Because I'm happy. My kids love the Minions. So I don't know what to tell you. So I can be happy because I'm free from failure. B, I am free from defeat. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14. It tells me this. I love this in the Message version. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Doesn't that sound awesome? It's like, what are you doing? I'm in a parade. What's going on? Oh, I'm just winning. This is what's going on. I'm just winning all the time. One perpetual parade. I thought that was cool. I can see you're thinking about lunch already, so I'll just keep moving on. So I am free from defeat because I don't have to worry about that. I should be able to be happy. See, I am free from want. This is a big one in America. I'm free from want. Look what it says in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? God, you've got me. I'm going to continue to have the wisdom to position myself for your blessing. And I won't have to worry about a thing. I don't need to worry because every little thing. I am free from want. D, I am free from fear. I'm free from fear. This allows me to be happy. Look what it says. look what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. Sorry, I don't know how I got this version. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You went to church today because you said half. Someone look at your neighbor and say, he just brought me to church. We don't have to live in fear. Why? Because God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't have to live under that. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be concerned. I don't have to fear. Instead, I should be able to just be happy. God wants you to be happy, and his best plan for you is positioning your life in happiness, which is in his presence. It's the liberty that we find in the name of Jesus. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness wasn't just a good idea. It was a God idea. It wasn't just some good idea our forefathers came across. They were on to something, and they understood these are three things that no one should be able to take away because God has already promised it. God created us with purpose. He's given us the liberty to walk out a life that is actually, how many understand that we were created in the image of God? So he wants us to live a victorious, successful life because our God is not defeated. He wants you to be happy because he has good for you. Plans of a future and a hope. Many are going about their life without the sense of liberty and happiness that God intended. And that can stop today. Today it could change. In this moment, people could change. Not because all of a sudden they got up and did something different, because it started somewhere different. It didn't start here, it started here. It's in the heart. It's in those places where we get vulnerable with God and we say, God, I'm not perfect, but I know that you came to live the life I couldn't so that I could believe on you. You say, Chad, I don't understand any of this. All I'm trying to say is the life that God created you for, the liberty that he intends for you, and the happiness that is awaiting you is found in Jesus. Jesus is the one that brings all of it together. He's the one that when we say, you know what, I don't understand it, Jesus, help me, he helps us. God, I don't know where to go. In Jesus' name, help me. God hears us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? Maybe you've heard this and you say, Chad, I understand that these are God-given rights, but I'm not living in that. I'm living in a storm. I'm living in struggle. I'm living in worry. Well, you're not living in the zip code God had for you. You're not living in the place and in the position. Because when we have the wisdom and understand it's only through the name of Jesus by which we can be saved. When we position ourselves there by saying, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me. I'm not perfect, but I know that you died for me. It is then in that place that we receive the mercy and the grace and the favor and the abundant life that Jesus spoke of. It's in that place that we experience mercy. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, even if you're at home with us this morning, if you're saying, Chad, I want to get right with God, that's something between you and God. It's a personal moment, but I believe God has sent me here to help arrange a meeting. I believe in this moment, if you say, Chad, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to be forgiven. I want to be able to begin to walk in liberty and the freedom and the happiness that God has for me. Then with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, would you just say, yeah, that's me, Chad. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to stand you up. I'm not going to call you down here. But right where you are, if I could pray with you right where you are, even if you're at home and you're saying yes, quickly just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. You're talking about me. That's me in this moment. I see that hand. That's me. I want that freedom. I see that hand. That liberty. I see that hand. Come on. And God sees your hand. God sees your heart. And if that's you at home, he hears you right now. Would we all say this together? Let's say, Father, I thank you that you so love me that you gave your only son, that through him I could be saved. Jesus, I accept you. I accept what you did. I don't deserve it, but I'm happy you did it. Come into my heart. Forgive me. Give me a clean start. God, help me to live a purposed life in your liberty with true happiness. I am yours. In Jesus' name.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.